Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 8 of the Shenneybrook MP Team Podcast. You'll hear me, Mr. Southwell. Mr. Doyle joins us this morning.
Bonjour.
And Mr. Nass as well.
Mr. Doyle's finally made it. Yes, thank you.
A lovely French introduction there in honour of the European Championships.
Exactement.
We're not going to do the whole thing like this, are we?
I think that's it now.
Okay, get it out of your system. Any more?
No, we're all good.
Okay.
I'll just have a baguette for lunch and we'll be all right.
Right, we've got sort of three bits to cover today in the podcast. We're going to do a bit of Euro 2016 bulletin. We're going to talk about something for the year 10s as they're going through their plan and leading part of their BTEC course. And then we're also going to finish with some updates on next week, which is National School Sports Week as well. So we'll start with the European Championships. What have we seen so far? Anything that you picked out?
I've seen Italy be the best team, in my opinion, in terms of performance level. Brilliant result against Belgium.
They performed quite well. Mr. Nash, missed the football.
I watched a few football games. Yep. Some men kicking a ball around the field.
Critical analysis. really in depth.
I watched the England game, because obviously I always will do. Was it riveting? No. But, you know, it was a football game. It was, yeah. I think Russia showed a lot more passion.
You have a phrase with football whenever you watch a game and you analyse the game by going, if I'm bored, the game now owes me 90 minutes back of my life. So was that a worthwhile watch?
It doesn't owe me 90 minutes. I wouldn't say no. That game did not owe me 90 minutes. The first half, I felt like I needed to have some life payback.
Yeah, parts of the first half weren't great for that game.
No.
I think England were a little bit unlucky. I think you talk about balance of play and whatnot, I think they deserve to win the game, but you can't deny they scored a pretty good header, I think, at the end of the
day. They looked more attacking side that I'd seen in a long time from watching England games. They looked like there was times when they really wanted it and they were putting things in play.
I thought just before we scored our goal, when it was 0-0, I actually said to the person sitting next to me that I would be quite happy with a draw here because the level of performance, desire, passion, tactics, everything was so much better than the last time we drew in a tournament, which was in the World Cup. However, because we were 1-0 up and it was an injury time equaliser, it does feel a little bit like a defeat. But I go back to that, I think it was much better.
It was so much better than anything we've seen so far. But I tell you what, I made the mistake. I followed the game. I watched it, but I also followed it on Twitter. And as soon as that goal went in, it was like, oh, it's all over. It's all over. We've been knocked out. Sack the manager. This player's done that. That player's done that. I was like, oh, God. It's tough to watch. The media really sort of went for it a bit. Other than that, yeah. France, the host on the opening night, looked in pretty good nick.
Dimitri Payet doesn't look half bad, does he?
No. There's been some really good goals scored. Mm. Really good goals. A lot of free kicks. A lot of stuff from outside the box. I think that's been really good so far.
Exciting. The trouble has to be mentioned. It's a massive shame, isn't it? It's a massive shame that has blighted. And it looks as if Russia are in pretty serious trouble. If it happens again, they could be kicked out.
Yeah, so they've got a suspended suspension from the tournament, haven't they? So if they commit anything else during the tournament, their fans, they could be taken out of the tournament.
But I was reading more in depth into that. That is now only inside the stadium itself. Mm. So anything outside the stadium, which is arguably where the majority of the trouble has occurred, that, because I suppose it's more difficult to see who, because nobody's got a ticket, difficult to see who it is that's starting it, you know, they could continue to cause the issues that they have outside the stadium and not be punished for it. That's down to the police as opposed to UEFA, isn't it?
Yeah.
If they are thrown out, what do you do with their points?
Interesting one. I was thinking about this. Is it similar to the MK Schools League, whereby it's a 3-0 win to every team?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's how they base their whole tournament on, the Milton Keynes structure.
It's a model, isn't it?
They might have done. Yes, yeah, but I wonder what happens to their points.
Yeah,
it must be a win for everyone, hey?
Let's watch closely and see if they...
I think while we're just talking about the media, everything in the media, and obviously the violence that's erupted out there. Obviously, the weekend, Euros was big in the media, understandably. But other things that went on that didn't actually make the media because of so much going on in the Euros. And obviously, England rugby team.
I thought you were going to talk about the Formula One, Mr. Nash, but no. Well, you go with rugby.
Obviously, England rugby team won at the weekend.
They did.
The first of their three-match tour of Australia. They were playing Australia in their test matches. And they won 39-28, which
pretty
I think it's a pretty good solid win. But that wasn't so much in the media. We talked about media last week and how much they hype certain things up. And they probably neglect other things. But that was obviously a big win. And now obviously England ranked third in the in the world rankings.
They probably perform better as well than the England football team.
Absolutely.
They've got nothing for it.
Isn't it the fourth time in something like 15 attempts that they've won in Australia, which obviously is quite a low ratio, which means it's a significant victory.
Yeah, it's their first ever at that ground as well, isn't it, in the first test as well.
So they're playing again this Saturday. I think the Australians will come out a lot tougher, and you know, won't want that to happen again.
Never know, we might hear about it when we have our podcast next week. That's probably going to be the first time.
Just to stoke the fires a little bit, if we're going to be fair, Wales also played rugby twice between last time we recorded a pod and got hammered twice by New Zealand.
That's so true.
Just for clarity, and then ready for tomorrow's game as well.
Continue that then.
Yeah, so we've had a couple of questions in from listeners. One of them was obviously about the England-Russia fans. I think that's been quite big in the media. The other one was, what's been the biggest shock so far in the tournament and in the group stages? Has anybody turned up and done a, you know, particularly good job at the tournament than expecting?
I've been able to talk about the Euros a little bit.
That has been quite a shock.
Yeah, that's a shock to the system.
Fair play.
The media world has been turned on its head. I think I was going to say Austria.
Well, yesterday, that's the thing. Now, it's odd, isn't it? Because Austria, again, are one of those teams, we talked about Belgium last week, who they've always been bubbling under. They've always been kind of like a third-tier team, haven't they? Especially in my lifetime of supporting football. They've always had maybe one good player. But actually, they were quite fancy. They've got players like David Alaba, who plays for Bayern Munich, Arnautovic plays for Stoke. So they were actually one of the stronger teams in that particular group.
Yeah, but they aren't sort of unsung a little bit.
Yeah, they have been. However, they got turned over by Hungary, didn't they?
Yeah. The other one was I think Belgium. Because I looked at their team, we spoke about them last week. Their team is brilliant.
It's unbelievable, isn't
but
it?
They just cannot work together as a unit.
I mean, I don't know a great deal about football. That might not be apparent on this. But
You've not mentioned it.
Down like that. Yeah.
I actually last night watched the second half of Portugal versus Iceland.
Oh, yeah.
And Iceland, I've not heard much about Iceland as a football nation, but seem to be
very good for frozen goods.
Really?
What I understand is that 10% of their entire population is over in France, either playing or supporting, and that they have a population the same size as the London borough of Lewisham.
Right, wow. Well, interesting, obviously they drew 1-1, and they looked a very passionate side that I saw last night. That was a very small snippet, I guess, of their performance, but it'd be interesting to see.
It's been a few. I think once we get into next week's pod, we'll see more about teams that are probably going to progress and teams that are out. If we're being honest, England could be out on Thursday.
Could well be, yeah. A bad result against Wales and that spells trouble.
So we've got lots to look forward to. We've got another question as well, which was about replays on the big screen. And it's something they've started to do, I've noticed, more in the European Championships. So if there's a controversial incident, like a bad tackle, maybe a suspect handball, they traditionally don't show them in the Premier League, but in the Euros, they've started showing them on big screens and you can hear the fans' reaction to it as well. Did that have any impact on the weekend in the England-Russia game?
Well, you've got to think, if that happens to you, if you're in a position where you're trying to make some decisions and then as a referee you're able to take a look at a decision and you know that you've made an error, you've made a mistake, that has to have a psychological effect on you for the rest of the game.
I'm a little bit torn with this because obviously in rugby, the third official, the video ref, has been around for a while now and it's used.
It's used well, I think.
It's used well, but it's used more and more.
It's used a lot sometimes.
And it's almost taken away from I'm having to make a decision as a referee. Now, if I'm trained to be a referee, ultimately what I've been trained to do is make a decision on what I've seen. Suddenly I've not had to do that. I can just call up the video ref and go, no, okay, yep, I was going to say this, but actually it's that. So I'll go with that there. And it's slowing down a little bit for rugby, I think, the game. You know, because you're going, right now the ref's looking up at the screen. Can I see it at a different angle? Can I see it at this angle? And it's slowing down the match performance.
Does it not add to that drama?
Yeah, a little bit. I guess sometimes, but
it's when they overcook it and do it too much, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you think, usually that's going to be used in a try-scoring situation.
Yeah.
Now, actually, there is a pause then anyway, isn't there? Because the conversion needs to be set up and they've got a minute, isn't it, to take the conversion as well. So there is that little element of that gap in play happens anyway. They try to fill it with the TMO. In football, that gap doesn't exist. Now, if you were to add that into football as well, then you are slowing the game down that little bit more significantly. What about in cricket, where the umpire has to make a decision? It's only on the runouts, isn't it, that they can actually go upstairs. They have to make a decision, and then the video referee is only there. That sometimes they even say, we'll stick it with the umpire's call because it was too close to...
It's a tough one because it does look like when they're showing him at the Euros, they're undermining the referee. Mm. And this was actually sent in by Mr. Darville, one of our teachers here. It does look like they're undermining the referee, and it doesn't go down well in the crowd. If a decision doesn't go your way.
And the players are going to respond to that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're going to see it straight away.
Like, this referee
and
hasn't seen that.
If you notice as well, if you start to see it, when they sort of pan the camera around, you see the players looking up, looking up, just they know it's coming.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit intrigued by it, so I looked at the rules for the Premier League, and I know that you can't do it. And one year, only because I've seen it where I was at the game, one of the players from Man United, don't want to name him, Ronaldo, died for a penalty. He obviously died for it, and they showed it on the big screen. And the guys at Spurs were clever, because if you show it, what are the crowd going to do?
Yeah,
they're going to go mental. Yeah. So as soon as they came out in the second half, the crowd were baying for blood all the way through. Ronaldo couldn't kick the ball for the second half, and it went down well. But it's actually against the rules in the Premier League to be able to show those replays.
Well, let's have a just think about sort of the dark arts, if you like, in terms of obviously entertainment is what gives the money to football. That's why there's so much money in football. It's the entertainment and sport in general. Mm. But does it not add an element of entertainment to that? I know it's a little bit of gamesmanship, exactly the situation you've just spoken about. But I mean, we're saying that a lot of people say that the reason why they don't want video referees in there is because it takes away the talking points from the next day of the fact that there was a refereeing incident or error that they've made. And actually, that brings something to the game. Will this now bring an extra element to the game where tactics are being used to try and put pressure on the referee? It's not ideal, but it may bring that little bit of value.
I'm really scared of, because I've always said that the one reason I will stop watching football is play acting. I can't stand watching a player roll on the floor when they've been nudged. But if you start doing it for like gamesmanship and you start doing it for video replays, we're gonna have problems. Little problems, which we don't want to have.
Part of me thinks it should be a little bit like tennis, where you've sort of got three opportunities to
challenge system.
It's a challenge system, so you could go as the captain. You've got three chances in this game where you can ask me to go to the third official, to go to the video ref. And you could pick those. That could become another tactic, couldn't you? You wouldn't be picking it first tactic of the
captaincy.
First half.
It does make your captaincy. You really assess your captaincy.
So then suddenly we're deep into the second half.
Yeah.
We've just had someone go down just outside the box. It's an opportunity for a free kick here. Could score a goal, could score the winning goal. I'm going to challenge that decision. Might go your way.
That could turn things on its head.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't be aware of.
We could see. But then obviously in football that wouldn't necessarily work, because you've got to wait for the ball to go out and then you go, I want to go back to that mark, which was 5 minutes ago down the pitch, and I want to challenge that decision. And actually, if they started doing that in football, already, quite often I watch football and think they owe me 90 minutes of my life back. If they put that on, it could be 95.
Yeah.
96, yeah. We're almost getting into film territory. I don't want to do that. Yeah, it's actually not allowed in the Premier League, so you don't see it day to day. But I think it undoubtedly
has an effect on the referee. And positive or negative, it does have an effect.
If they show an incident that tips over a set of fans to right in the stadium, there'll be a big talking point. So it's one to account for. So, Euro 2016 done. Any more comments?
No, look forward to next week.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see you next week.
So we're going to look a little bit at the guys in Year 10 who are doing their leadership festivals. And the Year 9s as well. And we want to look at them doing their evaluation. We've talked previously about the skills and qualities of being a good leader, how you deliver your session as well, what you do to get the pass and merit criteria. But this process of evaluation is where you pick up the next distinction criteria as well. Yeah. Who wants to kick off?
Well, firstly, I think whilst you're doing the session, we talked about this last time, whilst you're doing the session, you've already got in your head what your objectives are for that session. And as you're doing it, you can probably get a sense of you're achieving, you're getting somewhere. The children are enjoying it. We talked about last time about how fun was the key thing for this. Yeah. If your session is fun, if you know during that session, those children look like they're laughing, smiling, they're talking to you, they're engaging with you, well done you. You know in your head, I've done something well today, or my group has done something well, so you've achieved something. So you're self-evaluating as you go along. You'll also pick things up as you're doing it, won't you?
Yeah.
You'll go, oh, I didn't bring in enough cones out. Do you know what next time I should have done? It's written down how many cones I need. So your self-evaluation is continual through that session.
I think so. I think you can know straight away there what's going on.
In terms of evaluating whether or not you've done well or not, which I suppose at a very basic level is what you want to know, if you think that the kids that you're teaching are going to walk away wanting to do something like that again, smiles on faces, talking to each other as they're walking away about it, being positive, saying thank you, that's where you know you can get a guideline as to whether or not it's gone well. And from there, you can start to make your judgments on why, the reasons why it went well. What was it about that was good? What was it about that that perhaps left them suggesting that maybe they wouldn't want to do that again, depending on how it went.
And one of the best things to do with that as well is to get somebody else in your session to look at your performance.
I think that's the next thing, isn't it?
You could be sat there going, well, my voice projection was great, and then your mate next year's going, did you speak? And you want to know if it's you know, if you've been really good. So the first part of this evaluation is actually getting somebody else to evaluate your own performance.
Yeah.
Very, very simple. They're going to give you a rating out of 10 for a set of criteria and a bit of a comment as well, just to put a bit of context into that little area to cover.
Mm.
I think that works well.
I think in their booklets that the year 10s and all that are completing, there is that page where you're going to get someone else to do it. I know my year 9s who are doing it as well, the year 9s group that I'm working with, they've already decided their order in which they're going to observe each other. So when, let's say, if it was us three, while Mr. Doyle is leading, I'm going to be one who's observing, Mr. Southall's getting his session ready. So they've got their rotation going on,
yeah.
And then it moves around. So they've sorted that out. And in that, in the booklet, you've got things like, you know, whilst I'm watching other people, I'm looking at how organised they are with their equipment, which we've touched upon with, you know, self-evaluation. Have they got their equipment right there with them? Have they, forgotten it all? Or have they got it spread out everywhere? Is it safe?
Hmm.
How have they got the pupils organised? Have they been able to sort the groups out? When they're talking to the group, have they brought them over to them to have a conversation instead of trying to shout across the field? Because we know that's not the best way to use our voice. And then we can focus on the voice itself, the clarity of it. Were they talking very mumbled and very quietly so they couldn't be understood? Or were they there, you know, expressing themselves well, which is important. It's obviously part of our school's own skills framework as well, the idea of being able to express.
Yeah.
Then I think you think about, you know, that fluency of the session.
I think that is about when you can see fluency. It's a very hard thing to try to describe what it is, but you can see it. It's when that coach and leader is engaged in it. They're not distracted by anything else. They're actually out there, not only just giving the instructions, but actively walking around the session. It's almost like it's second nature to them. It's like they're in that kind of flow zone,
yeah,
if you like. And that's what fluency, it's about whether or not the coach can understand, be engaged in that process. They can understand when something needs to move on, and when the right time is to do that. Now, if you're a little bit distracted, and if you're kind of coming out of it, hands in pockets, maybe talking to a friend, the session won't have that fluency, because you'll miss something. You'll miss it when there's a kid who's really, really getting whatever it is that you're doing. Maybe it's a throwing and catching activity. Mm. They're getting it. They're doing it too well. They need to move on. And it's when you're distracted, it's not fluent for that student. They need to move on nice and quickly.
Mm. And I think you look at that and then you go into progress. You look at how did the students in your session get on? And we're not looking for them to suddenly be tactical geniuses in any different sports. It might be that they've progressed into the small-sided game that was on your session plan. It could be that they've been able to use dribble with two hands, something like that. Really, like little mini steps of progress and something you can evidence. What can little Johnny do that he couldn't do at the beginning of your sessions? Really simple way.
Now, again, is that not an evaluation of whether it went well or not? Is that something straight away to say on the next page, which is our did it go well, our review, if you like? Yes, all of our students could do something that they didn't do at the start.
Yeah.
I think you're going to talk about other basics that are in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, the other basics, I won't talk about all of them because I think they can read themselves, but ones that I think in the last one on this sheet says enjoyment of pupils. When I get my group to do it, I'm going to get them to start with that one, okay? Because start with, did they enjoy it? Mm. Give them a score out of 10. If they enjoyed it and you gave them a 10, then look at the other things. What were those things that made them enjoy it? Was it the fact that they could understand you? Probably, because they wouldn't have enjoyed it if you'd have stood there mumbling and they would have been like, what's going on? Who's what did he say? So something had to happen with your voice.
You've got to go then into your self-review. Yeah. You need to be a little bit, you know, it's good to get the opinion of others, but ultimately I think you get a real feel for how well
the session went. I think as you're going through, you get those ideas.
Yeah. You look at similar criteria in that respect, but there's also a couple of other bits that you need to think about as well. And one of those is something really basic, like a demonstration.
Mm.
You know, if kids see a demonstration, it's so much easier to understand. You can put all this technical jargon out.
Yeah.
They're not going to understand it. Whereas you show them, they're going to understand a little bit. That's what you want them to be able to do.
I think also with demonstrations, don't worry if you can't do it yourself. I know from my own teaching, there'll be certain skills which I know...
Football.
Yeah, football. If I demonstrate this, not only will I show that I'm not very good at it, it won't go well and it won't be a good demonstration. So that's where you carefully select those students around you who can do it. It might be another leader. So again, if we work in a three, I'd go, right, if I'm going to do football, one of you two will probably demonstrate the skill. I might talk it through because I understand the technical side of it and I can talk it through. Or if I'm watching my group and I've seen them playing a little game, I might see, like you said, little Johnny over there who's brilliant at football. I'm going to use him for the demo and others will, you know, respond to that well.
There's no shame in that. I think it's better than trying to put yourself through something and put yourself in a really uncomfortable situation. Yeah.
I think one of the big ones on here that a lot of students quite often get confused about is the difference between aims and objectives. The second question down is, were the aims and objectives of the session met? Now, we've talked about that on the session plan. The aim of something is what you are trying to achieve in terms of what you would like to see. The objectives is how you've gone about it, what you've decided to do. So were they met? You have to link that back to the session plan. They have to be the same aims and objectives, the same skill that you're trying to develop, essentially. And again, that is exactly what I'm talking about. Are you able to say that little Johnny has developed his catching? He is now able to catch more consistently than he was before.
Yeah. One little area to look at again on there is probably your leadership style as well. That's the only real difference from the other evaluation sheet. Did you go out where you're that autocratic leader? Was it, right, pick up this cone, move this cone, do this skill? It's been 10 minutes, we're definitely going to move on now.
Yeah.
That, you know, those different leadership styles.
And it all links back. I think this is another thing I try and say to my groups. The work that you did on the first few pages in this book, where you talk about skills, qualities and responsibilities.
This is where it's coming
from. Keep flicking back to it, because people go, well, I don't remember what your leadership style is. Well, turn back for 5 or 6 pages and you'll see it there.
And you'll see 20 of them in a row. Yeah.
You know, then have a, and then you'll be able to pick it out. And that's what people forget. All this booklet links.
Yeah.
You've just got to pull things from the first few pages to be able to answer the last few.
Then we go into the final part of the booklet, which is where you're actually going to pick up your next criteria for distinction. And this is a bit, I think, that if it trips any students up, it's this part.
Yeah.
And it's like this, it's almost like a development plan that you're trying to work on with a leader or a coach. And it's all about those next steps, those future steps. And you're taking things that you've identified in your reviews and thinking about, well, how do I go and make them better?
Mm.
So, Mr. Dash, if you want to be a little bit more clear on your rules of football, where would you go?
Okay, so firstly, if I was going to try and get better at football, one, I'd start watching it more.
Yeah, yeah. That would definitely help. You could put that down.
Yeah, you could do that. I'm going to observe more football games. Look, while I'm watching the game, I'm probably going to observe the referee a little bit more, see what's happening there. Okay, then I could go along to, I don't know, an extracurricular club for football and watch one of you guys and sort of say, like, do you mind if I ref the smaller side? You run as my linesman. Please give me some feedback about how I did. Was I in the right positions?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's my little steps. From there, I might join a club or something outside of school and I might go and do that. In between that, I might say, right, I want to get on to an actual qualification here, a refereeing qualification, a young leader's referee or something along the line. I'm old enough to do the full thing, so I start looking at my refereeing badges and I look at which levels I can achieve and how do I access those courses. So I go on to the FA, I look at courses that are on offer, I look at their structure, so I find the national governing body for the sport that I want, and that will give me the route that I want to take.
And that is right there. If you add that in, if you can tell us how long that's going to take you, the date that you want to get it done by, that's one part of a distinction answer done.
Yeah.
Well, the clear focus on this one is to make sure that you have smart targeted what it is that you want to do. So if you want to get better, pick out one of your weaknesses. If you want to get better, smart target it. And I always say to my students, three things that Mr. Nash, you've highlighted there straight away. Three ways of being able to improve is to gain experience, and that could be, like you said, going along to an extracurricular club. That's a student's choice how they wish to do that. Gain some experience, get some more knowledge, and I always say either read a book about the particular subject or watch some YouTube videos, which give you an idea, and qualify. So experience, knowledge and qualification. If you can use those three things, and we've set out in the booklet a really, really nice little structure of how you can explain that as well, then there's your distinction task done, isn't it?
And I think you come back to those smart targets. Were those, what you've just told us there, smart targets? Yes, they were.
They were specific. They're measurable if I'd have put a date on them.
Absolutely, they were.
Achievable, definitely. Realistic and time-bound. I just got to, you know, make sure I've put those times on those.
Well, it will say on there, on the qualification in particular, it will say how long it will take. Is it a week? And then do you have maybe 6 sessions you have to do afterwards? So then you put your
time
scales.
18 months time, I'm going to be a fully qualified referee, and so I'll be working the Euros, guys. So, Euros.
There you go, we need to get a new guest on the podcast.
Yeah.
Right, so no pressure in year 9 or year 10. That is distinctions all round based on that task. Should be really simple.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to probably wrap things up for today. We'll do a little Euro bulletin next week as well.
Can't wait.
Keep watching that.
Yep.
So just say thanks to you guys again for your input this morning.
Messi.
Yeah, it's back again.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And also thanks for everyone who's downloading as well. We got onto the front page of the podcast last week on iTunes. That was really good, really downloaded.
Promise the fame won't go to our heads.
Yeah, all the quality of this podcast. Right, see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.